WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, June 27th, 2016. I trust that you all are having a fantastic beginning to your week. On today's Current Sports, we have a fun-filled hour as we will try to recap the weekend that was here in local sports and beyond. As on today's show, we will chat with the winner of the 105th Michigan Amateur Championship over the weekend, Mr. Sam Weatherhead. That's right, Michigan State junior golfer who had just an unbelievable week at Eagle Eye Golf Course. Sam will join us via phone from Wisconsin, where he is actually undergoing his internship for the summer. So right after he wins one of the biggest tourneys of his young golf career, he takes off to go do work at his internship. Gotta love that. But Sam will join us for about 10 minutes to talk about the weekend that was for him. We will, of course, also talk about Draymond Green, former Michigan State hoop great, who has now etched his name on this year's Olympic men's basketball team. How about that? Also, sad news concerning Johnny Manziel, former Cleveland Browns quarterback, disturbing stuff to say the least. We'll talk about that. And on the back end of the show, we will have some Detroit Tigers talk for you as the Tigers just got beat down. Simple as that. I don't know what other way to put it, folks, against the Cleveland Indians. It was ugly over the weekend for the Tigers. And we'll wrap up the show with weekend winners. That and so much more. If you want to be a part of today's show, you know that number, 517-355. WKAR, again, that's 517-355-9527. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, as aforementioned, we start with Sam Weatherhead. That's right. Weatherhead won the 105th Michigan Amateur Championship this weekend at Eagle Eye Golf Club. Weatherhead, who plays for the Michigan State University men's golf team, was seeded 51st after two rounds of stroke play, but ran through six rounds of match play to win over Dominic Marcianelli of Northville, a Novi Detroit Catholic Central grad and current player at Grand Valley State. On his way to the W, Weatherhead beat two former winners of the tournament, a former pro and a golfer from the University of Michigan as well. We will have more with Sam Weatherhead. He will join us live here on the air to talk about that win at the Michigan Amateur Championship. You don't want to miss that interview. All right, Golden State Warrior and former Michigan State Spartan Draymond Green has accepted his invitation to play for the United States men's basketball squad at the 2016 Rio Olympics. He had previously played for the U.S. in 2011 and 2015 at the World University Games and the USA Showcase, but this will be Green's first appearance with the United States national team. Green averaged 14 points, 9.5 boards, and 7.4 assists per game for the Warriors during last year. Two former Michigan State Spartans, Bryn Forbes and Matt Costello, have both signed NBA contracts. Matt Costello agreed to a free agent contract with the Atlanta Hawks shortly after the draft concluded last week on Thursday. Costello will begin his battle for a spot by playing on the Hawks' summer league team. MLive reported on Friday that Bryn Forbes had reached an agreement to sign with the San Antonio Spurs. What an opportunity that will be for him. After transferring from Cleveland State, Forbes had his best year in his last year at MSU, averaging 14.4 points per game while shooting 48% from deep. After Deontay Davis's surprising drop in the NBA draft, Michigan State's head coach Tom Izzo warned the incoming freshman the next morning about the hype over NBA mock draft, saying, quote, "I just talked to them about this is why. You don't believe the media, don't believe the draft experts. He also goes on to say, quote, understand this is a business. It's the NBA. The people that are picking are the coaches and the GMs and the owners. So I did get that point across because already we got guys talking about next year in the media, end quote. This comes after Davis had been projected as high as the 12th overall pick before falling to the 31st overall pick. That's the first pick in the second round last week on Thursday. The 2017 class for the Michigan State Spartan football team has continued to get stronger and stronger as of late. Dominique Long, a 6'2", 189-pound defensive back from Westerville, South Ohio, is the latest to verbally commit to the Spartans. After attending a recent camp at MSU, he earned a scholarship offer soon after. Quote, they had the whole package, Long told 247 Sports' Steve Whitfong. Quote, great coaches with great morals, Big Ten education, top-notch football program with great tradition, and it's not too far away from home, end quote. Very true. Ohio is a hop and a skip. All right, the Detroit Tigers were swept, speaking of Ohio, by the Cleveland Indians. Again, losing 9-3 yesterday. JV, Justin Verlander, tied a career high, and not in a good way, allowing 8 earned runs on 9 hits in 4 2/3 innings of work. He struck out 5 and walked 2. JV became the first Tiger in history to allow 4 home runs in 1 inning, according to Stats Incorporated. The Tigers are 0-9, yes, 0-9 against the Indians this year, being outscored 22-7 over the course of the games. They have fallen back to the 500 mark and stand 7 games back in the American League Central. We will have more on the Tigers later this hour. You don't want to miss that chatter. All right, Associate Attorney Bob Hinton, who had accidentally texted the Associated Press, accidentally, how do you do that? I don't get that. You just accidentally text the Associated Press? All right, I'll reserve my thoughts on that one, all right? Expressing his doubt on whether Johnny Manziel would be able to stay clean while seeking a plea deal in his case. He has withdrawn from representing Johnny Manziel in his domestic violence case. Manziel, who's 23 years old, is accused of hitting and threatening his former girlfriend, Colleen Crawley, during a night out in January. He is facing a misdemeanor assault charge that carries a penalty of up to a year in jail and a $4,000 fine. We'll have more on that story in just a second as well. Also, last but not least, folks, some sad news concerning former Tennessee women's basketball coach Pat Summitt. After reports over the weekend, legendary women's basketball coach Summitt, her health is waning. There were several updates throughout the weekend. Summitt's family released a statement late on Sunday regarding her condition, acknowledging, quote, the past few days have been difficult for Pat as her early onset dementia, Alzheimer type, progresses, end quote. The statement from Aaron Freeman of Ackerman Public Relations also said, quote, she is surrounded by those who mean the most to her. And during this time, we ask for prayers for Pat and her family and friends, as well as your utmost respect and privacy. Thank you. End quote. So the family of Pat Summitt are at the bedside of Summitt as her health is really at a question mark right now. So thoughts and prayers out to the legendary Pat Summitt. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. You know that number to call in to be a part of our airwaves, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in by simply going to facebook.com/currentsports or even by tweeting me at AlMartinWKAR. Without further ado, let's start the show.
Win a national championship.
I don't want to win.
And I don't think they're in this good a shape as we are. Things that have to happen. Your defense has got to be better. Candace Parker, you better deny the middle of the floor time. 100%. Whoever's up there, deny the floor. The other thing that we have to do is when they take shots, they take contested shots, and we put a physical presence into them, a body on everybody. You got it? Because, I mean, on the boards right now, it's 24-23 them. And we got to separate ourselves. We got to flat out separate ourselves on the board. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Take care of the basketball. Your defense, your rebounding. And then you've got to work for better shots. We don't have five people working hard. And so no one on the floor has any reason to hesitate or not be competitive at that moment. Got me, Don? Sense of urgency. Every possession matters. Take pride in every possession. It's a game of possessions. It's also a game of wheels. See how tough we are this
season.
Yes, we are pulling for you, Pat. Oh, man. You know, it's really tough. Anytime you got to bring a story like that to your listeners or viewers or whatever respective media outlet you work for, because it's just tough. And it really just puts life in perspective. It's been a tough year, hasn't it? We've already lost some of the greats in the sporting world. I don't need to name them anymore. And we are still in mourning of some of the pioneers in the world of sports. And now, you know, the news, you know, I happen to be driving in the car and I had on Sports Talk Radio. And when the news came across that Pat Summitt was not doing well, man, it just hit home again. You know, you can feel it. I felt it right in my chest when I heard that news. You know, the family of Pat Summitt, legendary women's basketball coach at Tennessee, not doing well. She's been battling early onset dementia for a while now, dating back to 2012, and it seems as though it has progressed to the point where it's at a crucial standstill. So prayers and thoughts out to Pat Summitt and her family, and she's such a figure in the world of college basketball, in the world of women's sports. Heck, in the world of sports in general, you know, when you talk college hoops, it's hard not to think about Pat Summitt and what she meant to the game. And you know, it's so tough when discussing a situation like this with Summitt, because she was, as you just heard in that snippet there, she was a person just filled with life. Very intense, very genuine and caring. And she was like a mother figure for her players when she was at Tennessee, and just full of life. And it's so tough when you see an individual who is just full of life and they go from that to just a shell of themselves, you know, not very talkative anymore and just trying to battle and get by day by day by day. I saw that, you know, to bring this to a personal experience, I always talk about my grandfather. You know, I saw him be this just vibrant life of the party figure who was so commanding in our family, to a man who, when I would walk in the room, he would look at me, but he couldn't talk anymore, and he would just kind of just stare around, and he relied on us to help him with everything from getting up and going to the bathroom or feeding him, and it was just tough to watch that. It's tough when you see an individual that was such, you know, just full of life, you know, deteriorate to that. So prayers out to Pat Summitt, and you know, I'm seeing everywhere on Twitter the hashtag pray for Pat, as everyone is weighing in on Pat's condition right now, including Gino Auriemma, who is the head coach of the powerhouse that is UConn women's college basketball. I even saw, to bring another local feel to this whole thing, Swin Cash, former women's basketball hoop star for the Detroit Shock, when the Shock did exist here in Detroit. And, you know, I saw Swin tell a story of how she was recruited by Pat Summitt coming out of high school, and Summitt actually visited her high school, and you could see everybody, you know, in her high school say, "Oh my gosh, that's Pat Summitt." They saw her just walking around, and Swin's like, "Yeah, pretty cool, right? She's recruiting me." So there are many, many stories about Pat, and again, we don't want to start a eulogy here. Again, she's still fighting. She's still fighting right now, folks, and we just want to let it be known that we're thinking about you, Pat. We are certainly thinking about you. We've got a great show in store for all of you out there. As I mentioned, we will have Sam Weatherhead on our airwaves. Sam Weatherhead is an MSU junior golfer who just won the Michigan Amateur Championship over the weekend. How cool is that? Sam Weatherhead was cooler than the other side of the pillow, to quote the late Stuart Scott. I mean, just even keel, locked in. He went to the semis, and there was a really cool situation there because you had a Michigan State Spartan going against a U of M golfer. I mean, you couldn't have written that better, right? Very cool stuff. And so you had Sam Weatherhead going against Reed Heinrich of U of M. Weatherhead pulls it out and then goes to the finals and then just makes it look easy, you know, and just cruises to the Michigan Amateur Championship win. And it was something that I didn't see because, you know, in our headliners, as I read, I mean, he was 51st after two rounds of stroke play. But again, folks, like I tell people, stroke play is an entirely different beast than match play. All right, so Sam is going to join us on the line. You don't want to miss that. But I want to start today's show by mentioning Draymond Green, former Michigan State basketball hoop star, who has accepted his invitation to play for the United States men's basketball team at the 2016 Olympics this summer out in Rio. Pretty cool stuff. So the names have come out, and Draymond Green will be playing with that team. And, you know, it's a lot of basketball news happening this week. Not only are we talking about, of course, the U.S. men's national team, but also Kevin Durant. Free agency opens on Friday, and everyone, you know, I feel like the entire National Basketball Association will be making a trip to New York, headquarters of Roc Nation. That's who Kevin Durant is signed under, the sports agency he is under. That's Jay-Z's sports management company. And everyone will be visiting Durant instead of Durant going on like this tour across the nation, going team by team by team. Everyone will be visiting Durant, trying to woo Durant to their ball club. So that's the other big news, and we'll get to that later on in the week. I got a lot to talk about when it comes to KD. But I want to talk about the Olympics, though, because it's an interesting situation when you evaluate not only the United States men's basketball team, but when you just look at the Olympics as a whole here, there have been many athletes who have decided not to ball out overseas due to many concerns. Many concerns, folks. And speaking of Kevin Durant will be playing with that team this summer. I want to let that be known as well. But there are many athletes who have said, you know what, there's a lot going on over there. It's not what I signed up for. I'd rather stay here in the United States of America in the friendly confines here, friendly with quotations around it, right, and not go over there and risk my health and other things, among other things, right? If you look at what's taking place out in Rio, folks, the reason why a lot of athletes are hesitant, you know, not only here in the United States of America, but also other athletes. I mean, I heard Paul Gasol weigh in on this as well. You know, Paul Gasol, an international basketball player, he's talked about concerns over the Zika virus. But not only is the Zika virus of immense concern over there, but, you know, there's a lot of political and cultural unrest over in Rio. I feel like this is the same problem we talked about when concerning the Winter Olympics that took place out in Russia with, if you remember, in that situation, leading up to the Olympics out in Russia, the venues were still under construction and not totally finished. Brazil is going through that same thing, and they've actually asked for international help concerning their venues. So that's been an issue, even though I feel like that we've had that talk as well. But it seems like right when the Olympics start, everything just happens to magically just disappear and everything is good and fine and dandy. But it's a problem right now, at least. And also, there are numerous reports concerning the water over in Rio. And they're saying that they have immense water pollution over there. So there are multiple reasons why many athletes have not decided to go over there and compete in the Olympic Games. And looking at some of the names, you know, as far as the game of golf is concerned, you know, Vijay Singh, you know, he's not playing over there because of the Zika virus and also scheduling. Also, Aussie golfer Mark Leishman, he says, no, I'm not going over there because of the Zika virus. That was his reasoning, his sole reasoning for not going over there. You heard, you know, soccer players like Hope Solo of the United States women's soccer team say that, nope, I don't want to go over there. There's concerns about Zika. I'm not going. Rory McIlroy of Ireland has also had the same concerns. There are numerous basketball players here in the U.S. who have decided not to go over there. And I can just list, I'll list four names here that I have on my list. Steph Curry, Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, Blake Griffin. Now, the thing about those four players is they have not cited a reason other than general injuries. Like Chris Paul, he says, I'm you know, just injuries. I don't want to have any more wear and tear on my body. The NBA season rigor was enough. Anthony Davis, recent knee surgery. Blake Griffin, quad injury. Steph Curry, recent knee and ankle injury. So LeBron James, he just won the NBA title with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's decided not to go over there. But for those that have decided not to go over there based on, you know, the four reasons I laid out, the Zika virus, Brazil's political turmoil, the venues not being done, and water pollution, I mean, can you really fault them for that? And we all know that the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, has just done a poor job over the years of making sure, or reassuring, I should say, that its athletes are taken care of when it comes to the overall situations of whatever respective country is hosting the Olympics. They've done a poor job. And so I can't blame any athlete who says, you know what, I don't want to go over there because my health is way too important to me. Or, you know what, I don't want to go over there because what if something pops off with the government and it becomes a violent situation? Or, you know what, I don't want to go over there because the water is polluted. I mean, can you blame any athlete who decides to not go over to Rio and participate in the games? Because, you know, right now, you know, whenever I'm doing my daily reading in the morning and I flop to CNN and I'm reading everything that's going on over there, I mean, athletes, they didn't sign up for this. And the sad thing about it is, the Olympics only happen, folks, every 4 years. Every 4 years. And for a lot of these athletes, especially those that don't get paid a lot, they don't have that luxury like an NBA player, that they don't get paid a lot. Like, you know, I always bring up like track and field athletes because they have to perform and get like sponsors in order to put food on the table, right? It's not like they are getting paid millions and millions of dollars to do what they do. And their ultimate goal throughout their athletic career is an Olympic medal, preferably an Olympic gold medal. In the NBA championship is like, that's the creme de la creme right there. To get a gold medal was cool, don't get me wrong, but there is no better basketball than in America. Simple as that. I understand there's a lot of great international players. We saw that in this year's NBA draft. I mean, how many international players did we see drafted in this year's NBA draft? I get that. But for a lot of these athletes, the Olympics are the creme de la creme, as I stated. And the fact that these athletes will have to deal with all of these problems is a bit unsettling and a bit, you know, a bit annoying as well. I can only imagine what they're going through. An athlete who has trained year after year after year to get to this point, and now not only do they have to worry about going out there and performing from an X's and O's standpoint, but all of the outside noise as well. I just don't understand it. And I kind of over the weekend just racked my brain about, okay, what can be done to eliminate this problem, which we have seen occur far too often leading up to the Olympics? And, you know, I had an idea of maybe, you know, maybe you choose just four or five countries that rotate every single year. Countries that have a pretty sturdy government and have pretty intact infrastructure that's already in place so that you don't have to keep going to these different countries and building infrastructure that takes years upon years to build. And then what happens to these infrastructures? After what you start to see, a lot of these countries, they build all of these venues. And then after the Olympics are said and done, after a few months, they become ghost towns. Those multi-million dollar venues just sit there and are not used. And it becomes ideally a waste of time and a waste of money. But if you have four or five countries that rotated, right? Just hear me out on this. Four or five countries that rotated every single year, you would have infrastructure that's already in place in those respective countries so that you don't have to spend countless hours and constant, you know, dollars and money into just building a venue to hold the Olympics. But then, this is the question that popped in my brain right after I proposed that to my respective self. Who decides on those countries? And we all know about the corruption when it comes to the IOC in picking countries to host the Olympics. I mean, the votes are mishandled every year, and it's so political and so dirty. So who decides on these countries is the other question I throw out. It's just become a mess. It's become a mess, folks. But I applaud the athletes who are going over there and representing their countries. I applaud them because it takes a lot of courage. If I got to be honest, if I'm an athlete and I'm looking at all these problems over there, I don't know if I would go over there. I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it. Simple as that. I just don't know if it's worth it. For some of these athletes, I get it, who play the not so mainstream sports. I get where they're coming from. But if I'm an NBA player and I'm looking at all this, I am certainly looking at this with a side eye and saying to myself, no, I really don't need, especially for those that have already competed in the Olympics, like LeBron James, you don't need to be over there. I get it. I get it, dude. So what do you think? Well, if you're an athlete and you see all these problems going down out in Rio, would you compete? And can you blame those that don't? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Please call in. I would love to hear your thoughts on this one. Before we hit our first break and bring on Michigan State junior golfer Sam Weatherhead, I want to invite the man behind the glass right now, our great engineer of WKAR's current sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how was your weekend, my friend? How you doing?
It was good. I'm feeling good today. Busy weekend. Like I said, long weekend, but short week for me because I'm excited to go to D.C. for the 4th of July weekend.
Really looking forward to it. I'm jealous. That should be fun, yeah. Man.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. But yeah, for me, talking about trips, I would not make the trip over to Rio if I was an Olympic athlete and NBA player. I agree. For smaller scale sports, yes, this is your paycheck. This is also your claim to fame, your only attention to get any limelight attention. But if you're in the NBA, this is a lose-nothing situation. Not a win-lose. Not a lose-lose, not a win-win. Because if you lose in the Olympics, even as an NBA player playing for the USA, you're going to get castigated. People are going to criticize you so heavily. If you win, it's going to be like, well, of course. I mean, it's the USA. Of course you won basketball. So from the start, I just don't think it's worth it from the potential injury perspective. But even going now to Rio, a city riddled with problems, and now you see the Zika virus as well, which is moreover the reason not to go. Yeah, I don't understand the risk. And you do see, in my opinion, kind of a diluted field in the NBA going to Rio this year. No Chris Paul, no LeBron James. A lot of names that have been mainstays within the USA basketball community are now out of it. So, yeah, I've got to be honest. I think they're making the right choice not going. I respect you if you go, but hey, I wouldn't go. So, I mean, I'm not going to blame you for that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Isaac. And talk about the other sports like track and field. And there's so much corruption and just dirt just thrown around leading up to these games. I also want to bring up the team doping problems. You know, when it concerns Kenya and Russia's track and field team in jeopardy of missing the Olympics due to doping scandals. Kenya's anti-doping agency was declared non-compliant with the World Anti-Doping Agency Code, throwing the country's participation into the games in question. I remember ESPN reporting on this. And then Russia, they have been suspended from the games since November when the WADA discovered state-funded doping in the sport. And for the Sochi Olympics, Russian officials took clean urine from athletes months before the games and used soda containers and baby bottles pass through a hole in the wall of a testing lab, or evade doping test. And, you know, you just look at situations like that, you know, and you say to yourself, okay, if Russia's doing this, how many other teams are doing this? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
There are so many question marks for me that just make me look at the Olympics with so many questions. It kind of reminds me of boxing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Boxing used to be such an amazing sport. And we've had a bit of nostalgia here on the sport when discussing boxing, I should say, when discussing Muhammad Ali and his death and how boxing was the sport back in the day. It was the most popular thing. Everyone would flock to their radios to listen to Joe Louis or then flock to their televisions watching Muhammad Ali. And then you start to see the judges, you know, they would have judging cards that you would sit there and say, what fight were you looking at? And then you would hear about, you know, doping within that sport as well. I mean, just so much corruption that it really turns you off. With that being said, I like to watch the Olympics. I must say, I like it more than the Winter Olympics. I like watching track and field. I like watching the United States men's basketball team compete internationally. But with me, this year's Olympics will have a bit of a different feel for me, Isaac.
Me too, and I think it's the second straight Olympics that you can say that about too. I thought the Sochi Olympics were so poorly handled. You heard about all the problems in hotels for guests staying and just cultural adaptation that really didn't work out that well. So, no, I think there are several occasions where you can point to the Olympics and say they did this wrong. And I'm with you. I don't think they need to rotate 4 or 5 places, but I don't think they need to try to extend it to places. They're going to have to build a hell of a lot of places to fit in all the visitors and things like that. There are plenty of great cities in the world that already have the infrastructure to handle the tourism and handle the athletes. Why not stick with those places? Don't try to make a king and a monument out of some city that nobody's heard of.
Exactly. It makes no sense. Then, when the Olympics are done, it becomes a ghost town.
It does.
No one goes there. It just sits there and rots. And you're sitting there saying, really? I mean, it makes no sense to me. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with the winner of the 105th Michigan Amateur Golf Championship, which was held here locally in mid-Michigan at Eagle Eye Golf Club. Michigan State junior golfer, Sam Weatherhead. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Got to remind you all that, hey, about 30 minutes left here in the show, we will be chatting about a man who has stayed in the press since he entered the NFL for the Cleveland Browns. Of course, we are talking about Johnny Football. That's right, Johnny Manziel, as we brought to you all in our quick hit headliners. Associate Attorney Bob Hinton, who had accidentally, and I always pause every time I say that, but yeah, he accidentally, quote-unquote, texted the Associated Press expressing his doubt on whether Johnny Manziel will be able to stay clean while seeking a plea deal in his case. Hinton has withdrawn from representing Manziel in that domestic violence case. So that broke over the weekend, and you even had Paul Manziel, who is the father of Johnny Football, weigh in to ESPN's Josina Anderson about the overall health of his son. And, folks, he had some interesting things to say. Very honest and heartfelt things to say concerning his son. We will read those telling quotes in just a moment. But before we do that, we want to get to our guest for today's Current Sports. I'm so happy for this young man because he absolutely just ripped it over the weekend at the 105th Michigan Amateur Golf Championship that was held right here in Mid-Michigan locally at Eagle Eye Golf Club. Mr. Sam Weatherhead, Michigan State junior golfer, came out victorious, and he now joins us via phone. Sam, first off, are you still on cloud nine, brother?
Yeah. You know, it's what a great week. Just one that I'll remember for a long time here. So I'm going to stay up there for a little bit now and wait a little bit to come down, I think.
Definitely, Sam. Now, I want to talk about the match itself briefly before we expand here. You know, I saw some footage of that that last round, and I saw that the public came out, and they were watching that round as it progressed. Again, eventually, you pulled out the dub and came out as the champion of this tournament. Sam, how did you deal with the pressure as the match went on, and really realized that, you know, you went on to realize that you were one of the very few that were left competing?
Yeah, so, you know, the morning of that final day is kind of, you know, ominous. There's four of us on the whole golf course, not too many people around. You know, I didn't have a caddy, so it was just kind of me, myself, and I out there. You know, as that final match got underway, it was great to see some local Lansing residents come out and, you know, support. I loved it. It was great to have a little gallery out there, and I think they helped me keep rolling it a little bit.
And, you know, is something that was also cool in the semifinals. You played Reed Heinrich in the semifinals, Spartan versus Wolverine. Did that turn the pressure up a bit? And how did you stay even keel in that moment?
Yeah, so Reed and I kind of go back a little bit. We played over the same year, so we played against each other in high school quite a bit and junior golf in the summer. You know, it's always kind of been a little rivalry. And then when we decided to go to the in-state rival colleges, it was, you know, just kind of amplified it a little bit. So, you know, the blood was pumping on that first tee against him. I know, you know, a lot of my friends know him pretty well and have played golf against him as well. So a lot of my friends were kind of rooting me on, and just a great match. He's a great player, and it was kind of back and forth there for a little bit before I kind of got a couple long putts to rattle home and really get me jump-started there on the back nine.
Well, throughout that round between yourself and Reed, Sam, was there any chatter going back and forth? Was there any trash being talked at all since you guys do go back?
No, not too much. We kind of we kind of stayed to ourselves. It was one of the quieter matches, actually. So, you know, we were never like great friends throughout high school. I mean, it was just kind of he was from Muskegon, I was from Grand Rapids, so you know, never really got to spend much time with him off the golf course. So. You know, we just kind of stuck to our games, not a whole lot to talk about. I don't think either one of us was really into the trash talk in the atmosphere. So,
are you a trash talker, or are you just kind of just a silent guy, just go out there and just get the job done?
Yeah, I hope to let my game do the talking.
I like it, Sam. I like it, my man. Now, you know what? I chatted with your head coach, Casey Lubon of the Michigan State men's golf team. And, you know, I talked with Casey about the really advantage that you guys have as a team, seeing as though you guys know the lay of the land at Eagle Eye because you practice there a lot. How big was home course advantage for you throughout this week at the Michigan Amateur?
Oh, I think it was huge. You know, even in, just the practice round, I was playing with a couple other guys who had never seen the course before, and kind of seeing people who have never seen that course before, it makes you realize how big of an advantage it really is. You know, there's just spots out there you cannot beat. And, you know, some of the opponents that I faced throughout that match play kind of hit it into those spots where you're just dead out there. So, and, you know, knowing that, I can then play a safer shot and just kind of cruise out that hole. So, very, very big part. And, next year, you know, it's going back to my hometown at Egypt Valley, and played many rounds of golf out there too. So hopefully it'll be just as big of an advantage out there too.
There you go. Well, hopefully so. And specifically, Sam, you talked about those certain spots that led to mistakes for the golfers that aren't familiar with the lay of the land at Eagle Eye. Can you get specific about which spots did you see many golfers make common mistakes throughout that week?
Yeah, so, you know, on the last match of the day against Dominic there, he, on 14, so I had just won two holes to go one up, and on 14, he hit one long left to a back left pin, and I knew that that was pretty much dead. But he ended up hitting an excellent shot. But I was able to kind of bail out to the right of the green where it was, I had a lot of green to work with and chipped it up there to about 4 feet and was fortunate enough to tap that one in for birdie to get that hole, just knowing that he was going to have a really tough up and down over there.
Definitely. And you know what? One of my probably my favorite hole out on Eagle Eye is that 17th. Whenever I go out there and play, I at least throw about 8 balls in the water. It's a beautiful island green, of course, that mimics TPC Sawgrass. For you playing that hole, what's your mindset going onto that hole, Sam?
Just hit the green, you know. if you hit the green there, I'd say you're most likely going to win most holes. I was actually fortunate enough, you know, I played 6 match play rounds, and I only had to play that hole once. So I was, that shot, and when you're just out there kind of practicing, you know, the heart's not pumping that much is a little bit easier. But, you know, once you get a little gallery and you got something on the line, the adrenaline gets to you a little bit. So that shot becomes 100 times tougher.
Yeah, certainly. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Michigan State junior golfer Mr. Sam Weatherhead, winner of the Michigan Amateur Championship, which took place over this weekend. Sam, did you embrace the gallery being around you in the semifinals and finals of that round over the weekend? Do you like having an audience, if you will, while you're playing, or would you rather just have no one out there, just you and nature?
I actually enjoy an audience very much so. You know, a lot of people out there were either family or very close friends, so it was good to see them out there, and they made an effort to come support me. So it's always good to have that support. You know, if you hit a bad shot, you know, those people aren't going to think any less of you. So it's really comforting to me just to have people out there and kind of cheering me on throughout those, you know, stressful couple last rounds there.
Now, you defeated two former champions en route to that title, Sam, Henry Dew and Andrew Chapman. What did that do for your confidence as match play winded down?
Yeah, that first match, you know, I didn't deserve much better. You know, I earned the 51 seed out of 64, so I didn't play great in the stroke play rounds, and I saw that I was playing Henry Dew, who is, you know, an absolute stick. He's a phenomenal player. He plays down there at the University of North Carolina, so I knew that was going to be a tough match for me. Fortunately, I was able to go out there and, play a great round. I think I was bogey-free through 16. And when you go out there and match play and play bogey-free, it puts the pressure on the other player to not make those mistakes. And then Andrew Chapman as well, great player, great guy. I was once again fortunate enough to play some great golf in that match too. He's a solid player. He doesn't miss too many shots, but a couple of them that he did miss, I was just lucky enough to be able to take advantage of those holes. And it's just match play is all about the turning points, I think. So, there are a couple of key turning points in those matches where, you know, he'd miss a 5 or 6 footer and I would make a bomb on him. So it's just a lot of momentum carrying out there, and fortunate to get a couple good rounds against those two guys especially.
Sam, you had a solid junior season for the Spartans, leading MSU back to the NCAA regionals for the first time since 2009. You were third on the team in scoring average with a 73.35 average and, of course, captured the Fossum Memorial back in October. Now, when evaluating that success in comparison to what you were able to do at the Michigan Amateur, what does this win do for you as far as measuring yourself against some of the best golfers in this state?
Yeah, it's quite incredible. You know, I've been able to kind of look at some of the names on that trophy. It goes back to 1906, and it feels great to be a part of that elite class. And hopefully this tournament can kind of just be a stepping stone, you know, as many tournaments are in golf. So it's one of my, you know, one of my better victories. I would say probably the best tournament win I've had. So it's good to be able to carry this momentum into my final year at Michigan State and hopefully help our team get back to that regional spot, make a playoff run there in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and talking about the trophy, of course, Sam, I got to ask because, you know, you mentioned the names, how they go all the way back to 1906 with the names. So how does that trophy work? You get to have it the entire year and just kind of pass it on to the next winner of next year's tourney?
Yeah, so it's got a, it's kind of like a Stanley Cup feel. So it's got the original cup with, you know, the really old names engraved on there. And then it kind of just built with a base and another base. And, you know, there's like 104 names on it, soon to be 105. So it's incredible to be able to hold that piece of history for a year. And like I said, just join that group of men that have been able to capture this tournament.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, when looking at the Spartans who also competed in this thing, the other Spartans, I should say, you know, you had, you know, current assistant coach Dan Ellis also playing in the tourney, current Spartans Josh Hines, Sean Frail, and Dylan Doigan also playing in the tournament, as well as Casey Lubon. I got to ask, I mean, how much was Casey in your ear as, again, as he was eliminated early in the tournament, and as you proceeded, did Casey give you any advice as you proceeded throughout match play?
Yeah, so he kind of let me stick to myself for the first couple matches there, the first couple days, and, you know, he's been in the Final Four twice, so he has a lot of experience there in that tournament, and, you know, he just gave me some advice to just kind of stick to the game plan, you know. He was talking about how there was going to be no one out on the course that day. It's kind of going to be quiet, you know, eerie feeling. So just stick to the course, stick to the game plan. And, you know, the greatest piece of advice was to just keep the foot down on the pedal, you know. It's a grueling week of golf, 8 rounds in 5 days. So walking that Eagle Eye course in that hot sun gets to be a little bit brutal on the body. But, yeah, you know, he's a great coach, and really gave me some great advice going into that final day to, you know, just stay even keel and go out there and play some golf, have fun.
Yeah, and also chatting with Casey, he's pretty excited about next year's team. Again, you will be approaching your senior year next year with the MSU golf team. How do you think next year's MSU golf squad will measure up?
I think, you know, we're looking really good. You know, we graduated Mitch Rutledge, who was just a phenomenal player for us for 4 years there. And then we also lost our Northern Ireland boy, Gareth Lappin. So, you know, those are two big losses for us, but we have a couple great recruits coming in. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a great year. You know, we got some young blood coming in that I think will really help our team. And, you know, we have some experience as well with myself and Charlie Netzel. So us two being co-captains, Charlie and I think we can lead this team to be better and better each year. I'm really looking forward to it.
Again, folks, Sam Weatherhead, MSU junior golfer and winner of the Michigan Amateur Championship over the weekend at Eagle Eye Golf Club. Sam, before I get you out of here, PGA Tour, that's certainly the dream for you, right?
I would say that's a good goal. you know, I don't know if it'll be coming anytime soon. I'm definitely going to finish up school first and then kind of see where I can go from there.
How grueling is that? And, you know, because I was chatting with Casey as well about just the grind of trying to make the tour. And, again, it's the best of the best. And it's so tough just to get on the tour, let alone sustain any sort of consistent success. How grueling is that grind? And how does this win put you in position to possibly make the tour?
Yeah, so each level in golf is just completely different. You go from, you know, you have success at one level. You kind of go from being a big fish in a small pond to, you know, a minnow in a great lake. So it's that college experience was a really shocking experience for me. You know, because I was fortunate enough to have some success in high school, and it was a different level of competition. So you know, I think my game's got to get a little bit better, and I'm going to keep working towards that. Because, you know, playing with the best of the best is no joke. You're out there playing for a living, and there's a little bit more pressure on the line each and every week.
And I tell you what, Sam, when you look at athletics in your family, pretty impressive stuff. Your dad played tennis and golf at Aquinas College. Your brother, Troy, was an All-American quarterback at Hillsdale College. I'm assuming your dad was the man who put the clubs in your hand, right?
Yeah, he was. He was. So I grew up in a house that was right on a golf course. They had just moved out about 2 years before I was born, so my dad would always go out there and cut that driving range for us. It was kind of just vacant land, so I have four older siblings, and we'd just go out there and kind of play around with it. And then, you know, moving on to, you know, 10 years old or so, my mom would We got on our way to work. She dropped me off at the golf course, and I'd just hang out there until she was done. So, the parents definitely pushed me into golf, and I'm so glad they did. I love the game. Couldn't imagine what I'd be doing without it.
Certainly. And how instrumental have they been in your career here at Michigan State on the golf course presently?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my dad was my only teacher growing up. You know, I never took a lesson. So he was kind of the shaping of what my game is today. And my mom and dad haven't missed a college tournament for me here in 3 years. So the unwavering support from them is very comforting. Great to see. I love them to death, and I'm proud that they come out and, you know, support their son all over the country.
Well, I know they will certainly be rooting for you as you approach your senior season here at Michigan State University, and we look forward to following your career as it continues to blossom. Sam Weatherhead, Michigan State junior golfer and winner of the Michigan Amateur Championship, which took place last week. Sam, thank you so much for your time, and you're actually at your internship right now out in Wisconsin, right?
I am, yep. So I'm working at Erin Hills this year, which is the start of the 2017 U.S. Open, so it's really exciting times, and all eyes are kind of shifting towards us right now, but I'm really looking forward to the rest of the summer.
How is the atmosphere out there? That's got to be pretty surreal.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. There's people are flooding in from all over the country after this last U.S. Open at Oakmont. We kind of aired some commercials on national television, and the phones are ringing off the hook, and USGA is kind of moving in to start shaping up the course. It's really exciting.
Well, you enjoy it, Sam. We'll see you when you get back to campus, all right?
Sounds good, Al. Thank you so much.
You got it, my man. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by chatting a bit about the Detroit Tigers as they were swept by the Cleveland Indians. Also, the latest on Johnny Football and weekend winners. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Briefly, Johnny Football, folks, former quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, who has gone through countless issues away from the gridiron and is currently undergoing a domestic violence case concerning his ex-girlfriend, Colleen Crowley. His attorney over the weekend, this is why this is relevant news right now, because Johnny Manziel's now former associate attorney, Bob Hinton, has reportedly walked away and withdrawn from Manziel's domestic violence case due to a situation over the weekend where Bob accidentally texted the Associated Press expressing his doubt on whether Johnny Manziel would be able to stay clean while seeking a plea deal in the case. Now, Johnny Manziel's father sat down with ESPN's Josina Anderson. Paul Manziel is who I'm talking about, and boy, oh boy, did Paul have some telling comments to ESPN's Anderson. He went on to say, quote, "He's a druggie. It's not a secret that he's a druggie." Manziel's father was asked to discuss the intervention efforts the family has made on their son's behalf over the years. He went on to say, quote, "You have no idea. And the system failed. I had him in rehab and he escaped and the doctors let him go. And that is a whole other story. So, I mean, I had him in rehab and the system failed. It didn't work. He has more money than me, so he can outrun me. Like I said, there are two things that are going to happen. He's either going to die or he's going to figure out that he needs help. It's one of the two. But we've done everything that we can do. Life goes on. You can't just chase somebody that's not willing to listen. The story is not going to change. It's the same. We're so far past that." When he's discussing, Manziel's father feels the family has virtually exhausted all possible ways to help. He says, quote, "We're so far past that. That was years ago. We're so far past what everybody thinks we are past. People are ignorant. It's just a horrible story. That's all there is to it." And this is the quote that really stood out to me. "I mean, I hate to say it, but I hope he goes to jail. I mean, that would be the best place for him. End quote. Again, those are comments from Johnny Manziel's father, Paul Manziel, discussing his son, Johnny, who has gone through so much, so much. First off, I want to say this is such a disappointing story because, and there's a lot of people out there that feel as though the media are giving this story way too much attention, and I totally disagree. The reason why I disagree is Johnny Manziel, what he is going through is an example to many young athletes out there who are possibly hanging out with the wrong crowd, doing the wrong things. Johnny Manziel's story should be out there in the press because this serves as an example of what not to do when you have insurmountable talent to play a game and profit immensely from it. When you have a gift, you just don't throw it away. And that's exactly what Johnny Manziel has done here, folks. This is a man who made the Cleveland Browns organization look like complete idiots. They chose Johnny Manziel in the first round, pick 22, in hopes that this is a guy who could possibly take over the organization, maybe in a year or two, and become that starting guy to lead their organization to success. He let the organization down. He let his family down. He let his friends down. And he let the countless fans out there down who supported him and had faith that he was going to be a star on the field and off of it. So Johnny Manziel, I really have no sympathy for the man. I'm sympathetic to a degree here because I want him to get help. Anytime you see a young man going through a problem such as drug addiction, and you have his father saying that, I hope he goes to jail because that would be the best place for him, this is a horrid, horrid situation. So I'm rooting for the young man to get help and change his life around. But do I have sympathy for the position that he's put himself in? Not at all. You got to learn from it and move on. Brief thoughts, Isaac, before we close out this show on that.
Yeah, I think it's an upsetting development. And obviously, we see leaks of Johnny Manziel pictures of him partying. And the guy looks skinny, for one thing. Obviously, he's just been messed up by all that he's gotten himself into. But no, obviously, you feel bad for his family. You feel bad for the kid's position. But for the kid himself, he did put himself there. So there's only so much. There's only an extent to which you can really feel remorse for what happened.
This is a dude who went out to Vegas and had a fake name along with a fake mustache partying when he should have been with the Cleveland Browns organization at meetings. I have no sympathy for that. That comes down to responsibility. So I'm rooting for him. I hope he gets better. But at the same time, Johnny Football, you did this to yourself, dude. You did it to yourself. And as far as the Tigers sweeping the Indians, the Tigers are not ready to compete with the big boys. Simple as that. Anytime you go 0-9 against the team that's leading the American League Central, you got a long way to go still, folks. And I'll elaborate that more so on tomorrow. Weekend winners, I got one. The BET Awards were absolutely fantastic. They did Prince justice with the constant tributes that they had throughout the entire show. I loved it, Isaac.
Matt Castell and Brent Forbes for me. Congrats to get an NBA contract.
Love that. Also, Game of Thrones was off the chain last night. All right, folks. We have to say goodbye. Same time, same place tomorrow. Take care and be easy, people.